Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now we're in a transition a little bit. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the score. Want to thank everyone for all their glorious contributions to our program. Want to thank everyone for calling and texting and emailing.
Most of all, thank you for listening.
Yes, means a ton. Thanks a ton for listening. It's wonderful of you. Thanks to our executive producer, Dustin Rhodes.
Yay.
He's okay. And we have Kevin Zipak. Kebbo.
Today was my last day of Zipak.
Yeah, that's it. He's done with it. Ray, God bless you for everything you do, sir. God love Ray.
Got some things he can work on.
Not really. He pretty much works on everything. And now it comes the time where we welcome in Dan Bernstein, and we're delighted to have Layla Rahimi with him, as it is a Wednesday. Can't believe we're already in the middle of the week. Good morning, guys. How are you?
Hi, Dan and Layla.
Hey, gentlemen. How are you? Any news today?
Wow.
Packed. Something's bound to happen. Yeah.
Good morning.
I don't know how you hold up with the Bull stuff. I mean, that's pretty interesting that they got themselves a coach we've heard of.
I was really happy to hear it when it crossed yesterday. And for me, it's as much about the process and how it happened as it is about a guy who could be right guy, right time, very high floor, knowing what they have, and now being able to put together a more than representative staff because of how the timing worked out. You know, to me, it's in the details. I guess it's in the fact that Arturis Karnishev has waited and waited and waited to fire Jim Boylan, and maybe tearing my hair out, as you know. And it worked because he didn't know that Billy Donovan would be available. And when he was, despite not having the intertwined background, despite not having any sort of shared insider status, he went right after him and got him. He wanted Donovan. Donovan wanted the Bulls' job. This was done so cleanly in a way that it really helps, I think, burnish the reputation of an organization that is something other than what we were used to for the past 17 years. And I'm optimistic about that.
And what's interesting about it, too, Dan, is that he decided not to go back to Oklahoma City, and they decided not to renew his contract, and they parted ways. And there doesn't seem to be, and I guess I say this with a mentally attaching an asterisk because maybe we don't know, but there doesn't seem to be any baggage surrounding this decision or anything kind of behind the scenes, like, oh, you know, he was hard to do this and wouldn't do that. It just seems to be a clean break for understandable reasons. And it is encouraging, despite what Charles Barkley said, as we discussed, that he chose the Bulls as much as the Bulls chose him.
Yeah, it was nice to see that transition. And the other thing, too, is unfortunately, next season, we still don't know, similar to the NFL, what coronavirus's effects are on that, on the salary cap. And for a team like Oklahoma City, you're looking at a very different job potentially. So the timing certainly worked out, I think, for Donovan and then thusly the Bulls. And I like the fact that he waited until the playoffs were partially over to get that caliber of personnel.
And I understand there were two camps here when it came to the Bulls head coaching job. On the one hand, you get excited about one of these next hot names, whether it's Ime Udoka or Wes Unseld Jr., anybody that we had discussed. And having a coach of color in this particular sociopolitical NBA climate would have seemed to be in tune with what's going on. But then there were those who say they're tired of the Bulls' job being an entry-level head coaching spot, being a starter job, that this should be a destination job for a coach looking for something else and treating it like the major market that it is and not just a place where somebody can get his feet wet. And both are correct. Both are okay to think. I just think that the latter group is going to be really pleased with his hire. But now put together an absolute kick-ass coaching staff here. Put that bench together. I'm greedy. I want one of those names that has already been in this cloud for the head coaching job. Put a big money assistant title on there or associate head coach title for a David Vanterpool or a Darvin Ham or somebody who wants to move up a couple spots on a bench and get everybody, hire everybody. You know, just keep dealing out these jobs and put together the kind of bench that we haven't had here in years.
Boy, that's a plan. That would be wonderful. I got to tell you, I'm just surprised. There's a part of me that can't believe they've actually made this move. That you know, it seems so sensible and so not really Bulls that it's hard to put it in any kind of perspective for me.
I think one of the interesting questions, too, is just seeing how this change of scenery is going to affect Donovan as well, you know, because we know him for his identity in the NBA at Oklahoma City and, of course, his fame at the University of Florida. But I want to see what this change of scenery is like for him, too, because this is a come up for him when you consider, of course, the market size and everything we discussed. So I'm really encouraged to kind of see him evolve as well in the second NBA job for him.
I don't want him to change. I want him to be exactly the same guy he always has been. And, you know, he was such a it's almost like the power of his personality is one of the things that, there's going to be an offensive scheme to study and there's going to be, you know, how he plays defense and all these things that are, you know, important for head coaches. But I just think the personality aspect and how he relates to players and how he handles, let's face it, the public aspect of his job, I think he's going to fit right in. So I don't want him to change a bit. I think that he'll evolve and he has already. You know, in terms of the coaching aspect of it, we've seen him coach superstars and we've seen him coach teams that really, you know, didn't have that guy, the go-to isolation guy. So what he has in Chicago, we'll wait and see. We kind of know what it is, but what I'm most anxious about is seeing what he thinks of the talent that's here and how he adjusts and adapts his style to coaching it.
He obviously likes it well enough because part of the reason why the divorce happened in Oklahoma City was he didn't want to shepherd a rebuild. So I think it's manifest that he thinks that this team can compete because if he didn't want to do a rebuild there, he certainly wasn't going to sign on for a multi-year rebuild here. So I think that's an indication that he either believes in some of the assets as currently constructed, or he believes in whatever plan Arturis Karnishev has laid out for moving around assets to make sure they're competitive. I think it's a really good sign. You know, and there have been, I was answering a friend, I was like, oh, here we go again. This is just like Lou Piniella or John Fox. Here's a guy who's just cashing a check. And I said, no. He's a very youthful 55. He's a very energetic 55, and he comes with a polish and a flexibility that usually is accompanied by an enormous ego. And in his case, it's not. He really is, even though he's got that sort of that flash of the guys from the Rick Pitino tree who have that kind of that you think that there's something there that's going to be off-putting. He really is. Barry Trammell from the Oklahoman came on shortly after he left Oklahoma City and said that it's one of the nice things about him is how approachable he is. And that is part of what informs his successful relationship with players. He doesn't come in there saying that he knows everything and because he's the coach, he's a more important person than other people. And the funny thing is, that was what Jim Boylan was like, even though he was an idiot and everybody knew it and it was part of the problem. So I think it's going to be really refreshing to get to know him here because he'll let you get to know him a little bit.
I can't believe you're taking a gratuitous shot at Jim Boylan after the fact.
But that's part of my joy in this. It's yet another reminder that Jim Boylan remains fired. I'll celebrate that forever. If I can find something that makes me happy, I'm going to hold on to it as long as I possibly can.
He's still getting paid.
I don't care. That's fine. Every day that he's not coaching the Bulls is a day well lived.
Easy, Haw. Some of us know that life, you know.
Easy, Haw.
That's right.
And, and obviously, sad news we're going to get to today as well with the passing of Gale Sayers. And it, I got the opportunity to work with Gale for years doing the Bears pregame shows. He sat in. We used to do shows sometimes from the for the Field Museum for a season, and really enjoyed working with Gale. He was always a huge name because he was a high school classmate of my dad. And
really?
Yeah, Omaha Central, 1961.
Wow.
And actually, in the athletics photo, I should find it and try to put it up in the Twitch stream I grabbed from my parents' house at some point. They're standing right next to each other in the varsity letter picture. Gale needed two sweaters because all of his track and field, I'm not kidding, all of his track and field and football glory could not accommodated by one sweater. But that was the same year that my dad was state runner-up in tennis. And they're standing next to each other in the photo. It's just funny to see the juxtaposition of this, you know, here world class athlete, and then my dad at 5'4". But he also worked for my grandfather's company one summer. My grandfather and his brother were big time Nebraska boosters, friends of the program, and were very accommodating when it came to a summer job for Gale at the plant. And they told him, "Don't hurt yourself. Stay in this room and don't touch anything. Make sure that you don't get near any machinery. Don't hurt yourself. Don't endanger yourself," because they were really obviously were expecting him to go to Nebraska. And it was a big deal when he didn't. But it was just reading about all this stuff, as legend has it, he went to the finals, the track and field finals as a freshman. And I forgot which event he was actually in, but their long jumper got hurt. And the rules then said anybody else who was eligible in another event could step in, even at that state level, and give you a representative competitor in a different event. So the coach asked Gale, "Do you want to do long jump?" He says, "I've never done long jump." He says, "Well, do you want to try it?" And he said, "Okay." And his first attempt, he broke the all-time record for that event. And the coach said, "Oh, my God, Gale, it's amazing." And Gale's shaking his head. He said, "Why are you shaking your head?" He said, "I went off on the wrong foot." And then the next time he did it, he broke the all-time state record of any kind in high school long jump. Yeah.
You should have your father on as a guest, Dan.
Well, he's telling all these, you know, these same stories, but it's
Basically, you've stolen all of his
Right. That's, you know the business. You know how this works. But he was always an outsized presence, and I always remember that when I was very, very young and watching Walter Payton, it's when both of my parents would be like, "Yeah, you know, that's the kind of thing." He'd see something, he'd say, "Well, Gale was even faster," or "Gale would make that jump cut even faster." And you know, I loved watching Walter Payton, but it was always held over. It was like, you know what? I wish you could have seen Gale before he got hurt, because some of what he did was even greater, even more jaw-dropping than what Walter Payton does.
And yet, yeah, what he accomplished after he got hurt is probably more impressive, just because of the way that he had to rehab and recover from such a catastrophic injury.
Yeah, I saw a really good quote just come across in the news of his passing, and I think it rings true for a lot of people that he was our father's Walter Payton.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I said this to David. He was mythological. I mean, it wasn't. I mean, I never got a chance to watch Gale Sayers play, sadly, but I saw so many tapes of it. I mean, just a different level.
I saw some highlights, and I retweeted some because they're so good. And just to see the way he would reverse field and then break away, it's just, you don't see stuff like that anymore. Just so graceful in doing so as well. And that track and field experience you talk about, Dan, I think it certainly shows in the way he ran. But I implore anybody, if they can, to just watch some Gale Sayers tape today, because it's a thing of beauty.
And some of the cuts to me, the way I've described it, it, when Devin Hester was at his peak as a return man, and he would cut to a hole that we can't see, and it was just an instinctive awareness of where an opening was going to be, not where it was, but you think, how did he see that? And Gale Sayers was the same way. He always, what did he always say? Just give me 18 inches. That's all he needed to get through.
Yeah.
And it wasn't about the size of the space. It was the fact that even if it looked like it was behind him, even if it looked like it was too late to get there, somehow he just like made a quantum jump and was able to get there in a place that's like, I would never in a million years, even if it's a video game, I wouldn't have seen that as being a viable opening. But he knew where he could get in a flash. And sometimes, you know, peak Devin Hester, when he'd stick a foot in the ground and make that quick little cutback, was the same kind of thing that you can't teach. And it's some people are just are blessed with that kind of artistry.
And it's like what I was telling Mully. He agreed that he and Devin Hester were probably the two greatest kick returners of all time. He just wanted to make sure that everyone got the order correct when they were listing Hester and Gale Sayers, and not necessarily in that order, according to Gale.
But you really are right, too, about the difference in medicine and just how it was like a medieval barber in those days.
Right.
They didn't have an arthroscope. I mean, when you consider all these athletic comps, whether it's Bernard King with his knee in the NBA and never the same, or Sandy Koufax with a deteriorating elbow that was never the same. There's so many of these that with what we now consider to be the most basic modern orthopedic medicine, we could have just seen so much more magic.
They tried to heal an ACL with leeches.
Right. I mean, it was nasty. It was gross. They'd cut you open and try to sort of poke around and figure it out, but they didn't know.
Hmm. What have you today?
Well, what don't we have today?
Right.
In a little bit, we're going to reminisce with Ed Obradovich about his former teammate Gale Sayers, for whom Ed used to block the wedge in some of these returns. Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk at 10. Darnell Mayberry, the Bulls senior writer for The Athletic at 10:20. Rick Pitino is going to join us at 11 to talk about Billy Donovan, his protege. We'll do Hub Arkish at 11:20, and there could be all kinds of surprises as well.
Great show.
Okay, guys.
Thank you very much.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.